Thanks, Amanda. It's absolutely terrific to be here with you today. This is a subject for me that, if I go back over my career, I think has been a perennial question. You know, people go through and try to justify HR's role in a business, and if you sit there and say, well, how do you grow talent? And by the way, how do you look after this talent shortage, which is probably, you know, 5 years ago, everyone would have realised was on its way. It's a really interesting question. And now it seems to be the one that everyone says, well, why haven't you thought of all the answers, and why am I waiting so long to get the answer? Look, I think what's really happened is the tide has materially changed, and from years and years of forlorn hope where we had all the consultants in talking to us about TQM and Six Sigma and that's going to save the day and it's going to fix everything and we can cut more people out, you don't need all these people. You know, I think what's really happened is that organisations are starting to come to the realisation that it's about maximising the skills, the behaviours and the knowledge of the employees that they have. And it's also capitalising the fit. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But, you know, we're talking about globalisation before and just talking about, and at the table, we're talking about our exposure to various different parts of the world. And everyone's got the same problem as we have. There just aren't enough people around the space. At Leighton Contractors, we currently now have around about 290 and probably by the time this session's finished, 300 people on 457 visas in our business. We expect that will go to about 600 to 700 coming up over probably the next 6 to 12 months. And the reason why is because the appetite for infrastructure, the appetite for development of resources in this country is such that we just don't materially have enough people. So we can grow as many people as we want. We've still got to get enough people to do the basic, what I call do the laundry. And that's a challenge. And that's one of the things we're in. But today is actually more about what we're talking about, which is growing your own talent. And so I took the liberty to change the title. So for the organisers, sorry about that. But I actually want to cover this and do it a bit differently. I want to talk about myths, because I think myths are a wonderful thing. So if you've got the general gist so far, this is not a technical essay on growing your own talent and all the things you can do, but this is probably how to get around and not fall down the potholes of having people get disillusioned with your business. So I want to talk a little bit about our challenges, and I want to explode some of our myths, and then finally I want to leave you with some lessons learned that we got on our journey. Our first major challenge for our business is the actual rapid growth of our business. In 2005, we employed 3,500 people. Today, I think the number is 9,800 and something. 3 years ago, we didn't have an HR function in the business. I'm going to put that in a bit of context. If you have a look at the scalability of moving from 3,500 to 9,500, what you actually sit there and say is, well, if you didn't have too much in the way of systems and processes, then you're really pushing the proverbial uphill with a fork and watching it come through the holes. So what we had to do in a bit of a hurry was work out what we were going to do. And fortunately for me, I've got a fantastic team at Leighton's and we actually got right into it. Well, it became pretty obvious to us that we actually were developing talent in two different ways. The first one was we were inducting and developing new people to the business. You know, and so if you have a look at that, there's close on, mathematics is good, about 6,000 people in about 3 years or 2,000. I think our net movement at the moment is about 140 people a month net. And with an 18% churn rate, you can do the maths. So we've got a lot of people coming in. So it's all about inducting and developing them and showing them a way forward. And then more importantly, I've got a group of diehard people that are being infused with orange blood, which is what we like to call it in Leighton's. And they've been with the organisation for many, many years. In fact, I was at a function the other day and one guy told me he had 39 years service. I was wondering why he wasn't retired. Then he told me how much money he had. The stock exchange that just went out the toilet. So the second challenge we have is diversity of our business. And I think... for a lot of people, they don't really realise the size and magnitude of Leighton's. What we actually have as an organisation is one of the largest contract mining companies in the world. We are Australia's number one civil construction company. We operate the third largest fibre optic communication network in Australia. We build power stations, we build ethanol plants, we build glass bottling plants in our industrial division. And we also have... basically, what we would like to say is our own little merchant banking business who are used to actually finance all these mega projects. So our challenge is it's a little bit different than if I'm just a single source business, because I've got this great broad spectrum of things I've got to actually go and deal with. And so therefore, one size doesn't fit all. And the most important thing, I suppose, is that people want to be treated like individuals. They don't want to actually be the cookie cutter outcome of this is the position this is your position description, this is your performance review, you need to go and do this course because they're the only courses we've got. Okay. So that's what we need to do. And I suppose our aim is, and having the Olympics just finished, one of the biggest single aims for us is we actually would like to mimic a rowing eight. You know, there's big boats, big burly guys sitting in there. So have a stop and think about these. These guys are highly trained. They've got total role clarity. Everyone in the boat knows what they've got to do, when they've got to do it, and how they've got to do it. They understand, everyone understands what everyone else in the boat's doing. And they've got to row as strong as they can and as well as they can in perfect harmony in the same direction to go win the race. To the outside world, the crew is effortless, they're majestic, and they operate in perfect harmony. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful kind of way to operate your business? So what I want to do is, with that as a backdrop, I want to talk to you about some myths. So, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to be up front, I'll just be really plain and open and honest to you. I love Mythbusters. I sit on an aeroplane about three times a week, and if it's not Top Gear, it's Mythbusters, and I think it's absolutely terrific stuff. So I'm going to share some common myths with you. This is my myth list. Talent is a rare commodity. Now, I could actually be in there and tell you all about these things, but this is a load of garbage. It's not a rare commodity. Every single person in this room has talent. You have talent that makes you an individual. You have talent that makes you special. You have talent that where you can add something of significant value to the business you work in. That is every single person in this world. And what do we do as a business? Well, we sit down there and we pigeonhole everyone. You do an interview. I mean, I want to be an engineer. Well, no, you've got an engineering degree. You want to start as being an engineer. And so what we sit there and say, well, he applied for a job as being an engineer, so he's got to be an engineer, so we leave him being an engineer. The guy could be a rocket scientist and could be absolutely genius. Where do we and how do we actually have a system that finds out what that person's natural talent is? That's one of the first ones. And what do we do and how do we do that? We actually do that through our leadership programs, because the people who are the pickers and the spotters of talent are the leaders of the business. So you can forget all your training programs. If your leaders, if your business can't pick talent and don't understand talent, then you ain't got nowhere to go in a hurry. So that's my busted list. Let's go to the next one. Training development programs need to be broad and extensive to keep people interested. Absolutely sensational for Generation Y. But we started as a civil construction company, and we look at things like roads. You say, as you sit there and say, how the hell would you look at road and think about a training program? Well, it's pretty simple. The roads that get the most use get maintained and get widened. And the roads that rarely get used get no budget and fall into total disarray. And that's exactly what happens with training programs. So instead of putting out 1 trillion training programs into the market space, what we do with ours and what we've said to our people is we want them to focus and put them into 3 streams. 3 streams of very manageable development programs around the business. So the first one's our on-the-job program. And what we've done with that, and we target that at non-managerial kind of roles. And what we have is an inbuilt career progression strategy in mind, which means basically you can start as a labourer in our construction business. You can start by driving one of those big yellow trucks in a mine. And you can work your way all the way up to being a leading hand. And what we do with our programs is we inbuilt the next level of supervision 2 out. So you might drive a truck, but you actually learn what your manager 2 out is actually doing in supervision. And we actually ratchet up inside all the programs inside there. What it means is the guys have the potential to either go ahead and move into the salaried ranks as a supervisor, superintendent, or whatever else, or they can elect to stay where they are, but the choice is theirs, and we give them every window of opportunity. The second one is we launched an online learning facility about 14 or 15 months ago. And that was a bit of a gamble, because everyone said to us, you know, with 60% of just over 50% of our workforce being fly in, fly out in remote Australia, this thing's got absolutely no hope of flying. People cannot get online, and which is probably true, because we can't get a computer system to work up there, but that's okay. So they just came back and said to us, you're just flogging a dead horse. Well, after 12 months, we had 1,200 people on it. We're actually ratcheting up at 100 a month. And so we think it's going pretty good. That program's actually developed by Skillport, and it has over 300 courses available 24/7. We picked 50 courses around safety, leadership and people management, and we put the balance around IT. And one of the things I find really fascinating is when I talk to people about that program, they are constantly going into the textbooks part of that online programs when they're trying to solve problems. So they'll actually have books open when they're trying to nut out what to do inside a business. So it's real, it's online, and it works really well. The third mechanism is our leadership development framework, and we do that across a six level system. So we take people from being frontline leaders and we take them all the way through to senior executive development. Those programs, those six particular level programs are all totally interrelated, and they all have targeted messages all the way through about what it is we expect of them in our business. And the material part of that is it underpins our values and it underpins our leadership guiding behaviours in our business. And the two material things that we put in there. And the reason why is because one of our values is people are the foundation of our success. It's one of our number one core, it's one of our primary core values. And what that means is when we explain that to people, it's all about developing talent. So I don't want people sitting there to me and saying, well, they didn't have a performance appraisal, or they didn't have a development conversation, or, you know, I never get the window of opportunity to do A, B, and C. It's a core value of the business. As a line manager, if you can't make that work, bye-bye, see you later, we don't need you. And it's as simple as that. So what have we actually learnt from some of these leadership programs? So the first thing is that we actually started without funding this thing through each of the business units, and we asked them to go and pay for it, and I think my OD manager's just down here, and poor old Mick used to pull his hair out, well, what little he's got left anyway. I think I was the one that took over after Mick finished with no hair left. And what happened was no one but no one. We just struggled getting people on the line. So what we decided to do was corporately fund it, and we do that, and we now have a situation where demand pull so these programs just completely outstrips our capacity to supply, and that's taken 3 years. But it's because we don't compete with business, strategic business initiatives inside each of the business units. So if you want to get leaders and you want to develop leaders and you want to have homegrown talent in your business, go fund it separately and let people get in there and have a go. So I reckon that one's busted too. Let me have a look at the third one. Training has to be structured. It needs to have a formal course. This seems to be the first reaction inside our joint, because every time someone talks about employee development, well, what training courses are they on? But you know, one of the things that we find really fascinating is on the job training, where it's a bit like the old apprentice system, seems to work really, really well. So I'll give you a couple of hints of some things that have really, really blossomed our business through. On the job coaching of senior executives, we have a couple of guys go around and coach our senior executives, and they have a conversation which is specifically around how do you develop talent. And talent development is number one, and building harmonious teams is number two on their shopping list. We're starting to inject mentors into the business. We're doing secondments across the Leighton Holdings group. We've got people going everywhere at the moment. We've got people going to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, India, Hong Kong. Heaven forbid we even let them go to John Holland's, but we struggle and never let them go to Teeth. So that's okay. But the reason why all these programs work is because they're real life, they're real time, and they're very personal. And if you want to develop talent, you've got to make it personal, because the guy who receives the training has got to sit there and wants to know that you actually really care and you're actually going to put something that's really personal for them. So I'm going to bust that one too. No, I'm not, because it doesn't want to work. Yeah, okay. Let me hit you with the next one. Going on training program meets my career development obligations, especially as a line manager. That doesn't work. You know, in our employee surveys, one of the questions we had is, does my employer provide sufficient training? And I suppose for most people who have employee surveys, the first thing you get is, could do better. Well, that's okay. This year we actually tried to do better, and we've actually looked at how we actually hit the quality rather than the quantity of training. And so in one of our business units, for example, they will go through, and every month they will look at the training that's been planned for that group for that particular month. And if it's irrelevant, I'll go back to the line managers and say, what are you doing that for? Why aren't you thinking about these things? Because this is where we get our bang for our bucks. And we're actually seeing some really significant changes. And I just got a bit of data this morning that said in 2008, we're up 11% in our employee survey. In 2008, we're up 11% from last year. So I think that's going pretty well. So what have we learnt? It starts with the leaders. They're the ones who are the custodial owners of growing your own talent. Not everyone's the same. So stop pigeonholing them. Go and find out what they're really good at and what they really want to do. On the Job has some really extremely powerful alternatives, and they really do work. And I would suggest to people is that while you're doing, when you're out there looking at growing talent from the bottom of your business all the way through, look at coaches, look at mentors, look at people where they can get that bit of guidance that you can't get in a training course. Use the 80-20 rule. It's all about getting a bang for your bucks. You don't go and waste and spin your wheels trying to run a trillion programs and getting, you know, marginal benefit out of it. Hit down to the 20% to give you 80% of the return and deal with the other 20% as you bestly fit. The last one is judge you on today and get into tomorrow and the way that you actually grow your business and you think about developing people. Yeah, we actually, my portfolio, in one of my portfolios in Leighton's is about sustainability. And we actually look at dual parallel processing, what we need to do. For every piece of development we do today, it's gone tomorrow. So we've got to actually constantly be thinking about how we improve our people as we move into the forward, moving forward. So finally, growing your own talent. It's hard. If anyone stands up here and tells you it's easy, I think they're having you on. You need plenty of courage, you need thought, you need inspiration, and you need leaders that have a total commitment to growing your talent inside your business. As I said to you at the beginning, this wasn't going to be a technical essay on how you actually go about developing, putting training programs together. But I think what I've tried to impart to you is if you don't invest in your leaders and the leadership of your business, your chances of growing any part of your talent is next to non-existent. So I hope with that, that gives the rest of my colleagues down here something to play with, and hopefully we don't actually tell everyone that we don't agree with each other. So we'll sit and see how we go. Okay, so thanks very much.